So this morning, I want to continue our discussion about identity, about our true God-given identity as followers of Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we typically, if you're honest with yourself in your discovery, if you're honest with yourself as you seek out your God-given identity, then you're going to have questions. Questions are okay. God can handle your questions. What kinds of questions, Pastor? Well, if we pause and reflect on the questions that come into our minds as we're in this process of discovering our true identity, these questions, the answers to these questions, will give us valuable information about who we are in truth, about our true identity as God created us to be. And so our gospel lesson this morning brings up one of these questions. And then after we discuss our gospel lesson out of Matthew this morning, we're going to go into the Gospel of John, where we will discover yet another question that will serve to help us find out who we truly are in Christ. Listen to the gospel according to Matthew, book 16, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Jesus here asks Simon Peter a question. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered him, saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. See, here in this passage, Jesus asked his disciples their perceptions of what people are saying about him. And it's not that Jesus wants to know what the gossip about him is. It's not that Jesus has any vanity at all about whether he's popular or not. He doesn't want to know how many likes he's got on his Facebook post. That's not what he's about. But rather, Jesus wants to know his disciples' perceptions of the people's idea of who he is. Why? Well, so that he can correct any misconceptions that have arisen as he's been going about his ministry. And so the disciples tell him, "Some say you're John the Baptist, reincarnated. Others say you're Elijah. Still others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So clearly the people's concept of Jesus is inadequate. And so Jesus asks his disciples directly, "Who do you say that I am?" That question begs the question from each of us. Who do you say Jesus is? Have you thought about this? Who do I believe Jesus to be? Is Jesus merely a prophet? Is Jesus just a historical figure to you? Is Jesus just a teacher to you, or just a man who did some good stuff back in the day? Is Jesus real to you? Do you call him Lord of your life? Do you allow him access to the inner parts of your heart and give over your own self-interest, your self-righteousness, your self-centeredness? Do you give it over to him and allow him the positions of first and center in your life? Simon Peter answered Jesus' question, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." See, Peter acknowledges him as Christos, the Christ, the Messiah. It's the first time in the Gospel of Matthew that anyone in Jesus' audiences, as he has spoken to them, it's the first time anyone has referred to him as the Christ. And he further identifies Jesus as the Son of the living God. He's identifying Jesus as divine, as having a unique relationship with God the Father. And so Peter's understanding of Jesus' true character, his true nature, demonstrates that he knows whom it is that he's following. And so we must also respond to Jesus' question, "Who do you say I am?" We have to respond to it in a manner similar to Peter if we ever hope to realize our own true identity, if we ever hope to live into who God created us to be. Jesus' response back to Peter, to his answer to that question, is really remarkable. Listen to what he says. He says, Jesus says to Peter, "God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't just pull that answer out of books, or you didn't get it from teachers or rabbis. No. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now, because you know who I am, now I'm going to tell you who you really are." And he says, "You are Peter. You are a rock. And this rock of faith that you possess, on that rock, I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all, Peter," he says. "You will have complete and free access to my kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. There won't be any more barriers between heaven and earth for you, between earth and heaven for you. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven." It's beautiful, divine, perfect consistency, bridging the gap between heaven and earth. See, the blessing we receive when we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, the blessing to us is like that which was given to Peter. We get that divine revelation into Jesus' identity, and then, because we know who he is, we get that revelation into our own identity. We get the freedom to live as God intended us to live. We become that rock of faith, members of the body of Christ, the church, and not even the gates of hell will hold back the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the church obliterates the strongholds of hell and sin and death. You are amazing people, church. Do you realize the authority and the power you possess through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that dwells in you? And so you have to answer that question. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says. How you answer that question leads you to the truth about your identity as a Christ follower, as a Christian. So there's the second question that defines us. It comes to us from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John, where Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Listen to this account. Well, first of all, let me tell you a personal story, I think, that illustrates some of what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. It wasn't all that long ago that I did this 21-day fast. This fast has been on my mind a lot lately, and the reason is because as things seem to be spinning out of control in the world today, I'm thinking back to that 21-day fast and the clarity and the peace of mind that it gave me about everything that was going on in the world at that time, how similar it is to what's going on now. And so I'm thinking I'm going to want to do this again, certainly before the end of the year. Have any of you ever fasted? It's a spiritual discipline, and it takes many forms, and we'll have to talk about that in depth in a future Bible study, maybe, because fasting is really fascinating spiritual discipline. Anyway, one day I heard a whisper. What Scripture calls a thin, sheer silence that could be heard. And the Holy Spirit told me that obedience is essential, not only to ministry, but obedience is essential in life as well, and that I should practice obedience for a while in order to get good at it, to become proficient in it, to become better at being obedient. And so you see, the fast that I was compelled to do for those 21 days was an exercise in obedience and submission to the authority and the will of God. And it wasn't for me to prove to God that I could be obedient, but for God to show me that in His strength, I have the ability to be obedient. You see the difference? It's not my will, it's God's will. It's not my power, it's God's power. It's not willpower, but the power of the Holy Spirit that works in me. Why is this even important? Well, for me, my call to lead God's people as a pastor came in midlife. I haven't been doing this all my life. In fact, far from it. It came at a point in my life where I had ample time and opportunity to fall ridiculously short of the high standards and glory of God. My life before Christ is a testimony to the gods, small g, of selfishness, of pride, and disobedience. Yeah, I'm human. I haven't always been a pastor. I haven't always had a heart for God. The thing is, God always had a heart for me. Some might say that I've accumulated this vast life experience in my years. There's not much I haven't seen. And truth be told, probably not much I haven't done. Let's just say that my life before Christ was well practiced in the worldly views of the human condition. And as a result of that, I have to constantly control my soul so that it doesn't default back to my original setting, that of sinful man. The person that keeps me from hitting my default, well, is the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. The Holy Spirit holds my sinful person in check, because left to my own devices, I'm not capable of avoiding my default setting. When I get rebooted every morning, my default is sinful man, and I have to What's the phrase that we learned in Bible study? I have to choose not to conform to the world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. It's Romans 12. Keeping my soul in check requires practicing obedience. Obedience is an action word. The more I practice it, the better I get at it, the more natural it feels. And so the day before I began my fast a while back, the audible silence broke into my consciousness and said to me, "Let me show you that you can be obedient. Let me show you that your call to ministry, to being an instrument of God's grace, is valid. And that by grace, I have made you worthy despite your life's history. Let me show you that life is love and repentance and obedience." And so I responded like we all do when we get that call. "Why, Lord? Why me? Why me?" And that same sheer silence answered my question with a question. Can you guess what the question was? "Do you love me? Do you love me?" See, the Gospel of John unlocks many things for us about Jesus and his ministry. I look to it as my model for ministry. And in this 21st chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus asked Simon Peter that very same question. Listen to this passage of Scripture beginning at verse 15. John 21, 15. "After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Master, you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' He then asked the second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Master, you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Shepherd my sheep.' Then he said it a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was upset that he had asked him for the third time, 'Do you love me?' So he answered, 'Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" So if you know Simon Peter's story, then you know this. Peter, his name means the rock, and his faith in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit was the foundation upon which Christ built the church. We just read that in Matthew 16, didn't we? You also know that Peter, when questioned as to whether or not he was a follower of Jesus, denied him how many times? Three times. It's significant, then, that Jesus allows Peter three opportunities to affirm his love for Christ, and thus gives him three opportunities to redeem each and every time he denied Jesus. Now, just thinking of that has got to give you goosebumps. See, Peter knew he was not worthy of shepherding the people of God. He knew that he was not equipped for the job. He knew he had fallen short. But Jesus asked him the question, "Do you love me?" And with that question, Peter was able to respond with a yes that canceled out all of his transgressions. His yes wiped the slate clean. So Peter took his redemption and went on to do great things for the kingdom. And in that same way, you and I can take our redemption and use it to do great things for God. And as long as we continue to say yes to Christ's question, "Do you love me?" then he will continue to say to us, lead my people, feed my sheep, spread my gospel, continue doing the work I have given you to do. And so when I hear that question in my mind over and over and over again, do you love me? As long as I continue to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, then he will continue to say to me, lead my people. And because I've been commanded to go and to baptize and to teach, I know that by his Holy Spirit power, I can be obedient and do that. How many times have you, in your actions, your thoughts, your words, denied Christ? How many times, even as a follower of Jesus, have you fallen back to your old self, your old ways, your worldview identity, your default setting in the human condition? Thanks be to God that Jesus gives us each and every time we deny him, each and every time we fall short, he gives us the opportunity to answer the question, do you love me? Because when we answer him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, then he responds to us, feed my sheep. In other words, he says to us, I trust you, I believe in you, I'm here for you, keep going, don't stop doing the work of the kingdom, I'm with you every step of the way, because this is who you were created to be. This is your true identity. You are a child of the living God, the Most High God, a child of the one true God, and you have sacred value. You have sacred worth, and you are absolutely loved by him. This is who you are. The answers to the questions that we have as we go through this human condition called life, answers always lead us back to Christ. His identity defines who we are, especially when we choose to abide in him. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for creating all of us as human beings in your image and likeness. I thank you, Father, that you have bestowed on us grace upon grace, that you have given us your one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life with him. And so, Father, our identity abides in you. Our true created, God-given identity is presented back to you in the form of one who is covered in the blood of Jesus, one who has taken all of our sin upon himself, making us holy and completely acceptable to you. Allow us in these troubled times to return daily to those things in your word that remind us of who we really are. When we're tempted to go with a worldview about our identity, let us not be conformed to the world, but rather let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might see ourselves through your eyes as one who is covered in the grace and the mercy that is extended to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name and we pray, may you be honored and glorified in our decisions daily. And we say this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.